2 years ago, Americans watched in horror as a crisis unfolded at the Kabul airport.
There's desperation and anguish.
More than 80,000 Afghans have since arrived in America, but this story is still unfolding. I'm Andreas Martin. In my new podcast, Stranger Becomes Neighbor, we'll find out what happens to these new arrivals in our communities. Who would help our newest neighbors? Follow us at KSLPodcast.com, Apple Podcasts, or anywhere else you listen.
Utah's best athletes count on flexibility, speed, strength.
And the Jazz pick up their 22nd assist.
So they count on University of Utah Health.
Brielle Soleil puts this game away.
And so can you. Leading doctors, a world-class environment, award-winning innovation, care to be great.
14 unanswered by the Utes.
University of Utah Health, caring for Utah's best and yours. Schedule your appointment now at uofuhealth.org/care to be great.
Hey, folks, welcome back. It is KSL's Unrivaled with me, Scott Mitchell, and old Alex Geary there. Actually, Alex isn't old. He's like, he's peaking. He's on the way up the hill. He's not over the hill yet. But by the way, he's getting up the hill much faster these days. So I know that you're into Formula One racing. But I want
to. Like, pained you to say Formula One racing.
Yeah.
You're like, oh.
Yeah.
Okay.
And I'm just curious, can we digress in the racing world for
I'll talk to you about some racing for
okay,
a second.
For just 1 second.
Yeah.
So NASCAR, right? Which is an acronym, right?
Mm-hmm.
North American
Stock
Car and something. Yeah.
Race. And rodeos and rodeo.
And I've always imagined what it would be like to be in that car. When I'm driving, I'm like, and they're going like 190 miles, 200 miles an hour around a corner.
Right? They're turning left, baby.
Yeah, around a corner. And I just wonder, and they do it over and over and over. And you know how you get kind of sleepy when you're driving? Would I get tired? Because to have that intensity and that focus for the duration of that race, I can't imagine what that would be like.
All these guys lose, 12 pounds per race. I mean, they lose a massive amount of water and just their bodies go through just an absolute, they're in a washing machine for, those 2 hours.
Is it that it's hot? Is it that it's stressful?
All of it. It's all of it. And you know what's interesting too? It's the G's that are on your body. It's all the stuff that you're going through. If you watch the Formula One guys, their necks are in Formula One is circuits, so you're all over the place. Those G's are all over the place, so they're working out their necks like crazy, and that's one thing they just never get used to. Is just if you're out for a week, one guy missed because of COVID last year. He missed two races maybe, and he's getting back into it with the practice
because
he couldn't
hard.
Do anything. He couldn't do anything for those 2 weeks. He comes back and he's just my neck isn't ready yet, and that was after 2 weeks. So they're tuned in. I have a lot of respect for racers. I used to not really think that necessarily. Yeah. But I for sure am I look at these racers and they get done with it. The F1 guys, you watch them, they weigh them after the races and as part of the protocols and stuff. And those guys lose a ton. And they're already
not big as
scant,
it is.
individuals.
I just, I go down I-15 and I just feel
you're hoping to lose 12 pounds on the way to work?
Yeah. No, it's I should drive faster and do a little more in and out.
Yeah,
and,
no, just go left,
weaving.
Man.
Yeah,
just go left.
Yeah.
Head out to Tooele and then come back down, go through Goshen, and then you're...
Or just make a big circle around I-215.
Yeah. That's what the belt ride was invented for, Scott, for you.
It was a weight loss situation.
Here's the deal. So I wanted to bring this up because we're going to be at Pac-12 Media Day next week. We're actually going to be broadcasting Monday and Tuesday from Los Angeles. Tuesday's the actual Media Day itself, so we're going to be doing a ton of interviews. They run everybody through there, and they put out the list today of the Pac-12 the players and coaches are going to be attending. Now, I know it's a shocker. Of all the schools in the Pac-12, if you were to pick one that their coach would say, "I'm not coming because I have to wear a mask the whole time." Or not wear a mask. You have to be. They've required you to be vaccinated to go to the event. I think the coach right before this coach would have also probably maybe have made the same move. I'm not sure what Mike Leach's stance is, but Nick Rolovich from Wazoo, not going to Pac-12 Media Day because he's not going to get vaccinated. So
yeah, but Pullman, Washington is like an isolation. Like no one goes and coming and going is nothing.
So maybe it's better for him to say. So he's not going to be there. But the list is impressive. We're going to see from Utah, Britton Covey and Devin Lloyd going to be there. I was disappointed. It'd be a power move by Kyle Whittingham to send Charlie Brewer, right? One of those. But Pac-12 Media Day, what excites you about what we're possibly going to be looking at next week?
What I love interviewing the players. I love interviewing the coaches. You get some candid responses. You get a feel and an idea from these players about things that surprise you. You know, I remember interviewing the USC players and talking about, here you're trying to win a Pac-12 championship and go to the college football playoffs, yet you have this out-of-conference game with Notre Dame every year. And they all were like, we look forward to that. We love that. That was a big surprise to me. And just some of these players and the personalities that they have. And, of course, you know, the coaches are great about things. I'm going to miss the Pirate, no question about it. But a lot of quality players are going to be there. I mean, we got some big names in the Pac-12, but some of these guys are going to be big names in the NFL. So I'm really, really excited to kind of put a face and a personality behind some of this. And from a selfish perspective, it helps me as I broadcast the Pac-12 games for Utah,
right,
and just getting some insights there. But it's fun. Look, it's fun to just chat with people. And I love that part of our job, and just kind of pick their brain and find out who they are.
Do you think the Pac-12 is freaking out a little bit about the Texas-Oklahoma rumors that they could join the SEC? Or are they far enough removed that it doesn't really matter? And, you know, right now is right now. George Klyavkov, the Pac-12, the new commissioner of the Pac-12, tweeted out today when all this was going down, just when I thought my first month on the job could not get more interesting. And he was making reference to this. I don't know. I mean, does it affect the Pac-12? At least makes us start to think about what the future looks like for a conference like the Pac-12 and all the big conferences.
Everything affects the Pac-12. You have two of the, you know, considered probably top 10 programs in the country historically in Texas and Oklahoma, and you have them wanting to go to the best conference in the country. Jeez. And make it even better. I mean, that's a bold move right there. And maybe a smart move. I don't know if it's a smart move or not. It's almost like saying, okay, you want to expand the playoffs. You want to expand all this stuff. We're going to...
You don't go in a non-expanded playoff situation.
We're going to expand our power. Right. Fine. We're going to... If that's what you want to do, then that's what we'll do. And if you're the Pac-12
the
conference...
The SEC's got six teams in the first playoff.
Right.
And 12 teams.
If you're the Pac-12 conference... You're a conference that's already fighting for relevance,
mm-hmm.
and if that happened, I think that would put you even further behind other teams in the and conferences in the country. I'd be worried. I would be really worried if I was the Pac-12. But it feels like maybe that's the direction everything is going, is to more of these super conferences, and so, you know, we'll see. But it'll be fun, and it was an interesting move or rumor that we heard about this realignment.
Possible Pac 16 ever in the future, or maybe just like the Pac West, you know, where it's 16 teams and it doesn't have anything to do with the Pac 12 necessarily. It's just the Western 16 the 16 team Super League that you're going to have to see, because they're going to have, you know, probably four super conferences at some point.
See, I wonder about saturation at some point, where you just get so many. You know, can they always be good? And are you going to find conferences that can get the quality of athletes and recruit the quality of athletes? You know, because I'm thinking of like Boise State, right? And
who's considered, you know, an Intermountain power, you know, so
right.
to speak.
And you know, if you think of the teams out west or in this area.
Uh-huh.
I mean, I'll tell you a great team that would be fun to bring back to the West is a team like Nebraska, and get them out of the Big Ten. Like, they fit into the Big Ten, they just don't fit.
Right.
And
bring back that old rivalry with
Colorado.
Yeah.
Because if you brought back Nebraska and you had BYU and you brought a Boise State and maybe another team from
Air Force or
San Diego State or Fresno State or something, one of those schools.
Don't leave out San Jose State. Come on now.
Well, you probably want to leave it a little bit. then that might make some sense. Now that only gives you that gives you four teams. So that puts you at your 16.
Pac-12 is a research institute conference. Scott, come on, they can't take BYU.
The problem with Boise
More important
State,
than that.
Well, whatever. but they should and they could and it would really boost things here in the state of Utah. Could you imagine BYU, Utah in a big conference?
Well, somebody was saying
and being able to recruit those really high level players.
I was reading today. You know, somebody's like, "What about a watered down Big 12?" And I thought. BYU would join any version of that to be in a conference, and even if it is quote unquote watered down. I mean, my heavens, win a championship in a watered down conference, you go to the college football playoff.
You all water right. things down, you get green grass.
Scott always there with something to bring you through here to have everything make more sense. All right, we'll come back. We got more to go on KSL's Unrivaled. Got the last couple segments here of the program. What do we have? Oh, we have our NFL roundup. We've got our. We've got our two-minute drill all around the corner. Stay with us on KSL's Unrivaled.
Two friends taking pictures of the rising full moon on a summer night.
Two teenage kids doing what teenage kids do.
When a stranger with a gun and a death wish changed everything.
It was violent, it was senseless, and I will never understand it, I will never accept it.
I'm Amy Donaldson, and unfortunately, we're all too familiar with stories about how violence shatters lives. But what we rarely see is how they are rebuilt. In a new podcast, The Letter, we relive tragedy, but only so we can hear the rest of the story. The struggle to reclaim lives, the realities of grief, and the possibilities of forgiveness.
I believe in miracles. Sometimes I thought, there are no miracles. Yeah, there are, and this is a big one.
Follow The Letter at theletterpodcast.com or wherever you get your podcasts.